Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Relationship Marketing 101. Directions University at directionsu.com delivers passion-powered results for your life and business so that you can live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsu.com. Calling to you live this week from beautiful Bonita Springs, Florida, as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. We have got a great show lined up for you today. We have my friend and co-host, Rhonda Del Baccio, the story lady from ProfitableStorytelling.com with us from the Ozarks today. Hello, Miss Rhonda.
Well, hello there to Gina and all of our listeners.
How are you this fine Tuesday?
It is an absolutely glorious day. I'm hearing some weird line static. I don't know if you are or not.
Yeah, I am too. It wasn't there originally. Let me see if I mute people, if that changes anything.
Yeah, we'll try that. Otherwise, I'll call back in.
Oh, if I mute our guest, it goes away.
Oh, dear.
Let's see if I unmute our guest, if it comes back.
Okay. Oh, dear.
It sounds like it does come back.
Zelda,
are you here?
Yeah, do you want me to try to call back again?
Yeah, why don't we have you do that, and I'll watch for you to come back in and unmute you when you get back.
Okay.
Thanks, Zelda.
Goodness. Yeah, I thought that was me initially, but I guess not. So.
Yeah, no, it's not. And I know you and I both have issues from time to time, but it's definitely not us today.
No, it's not. And it's really funny. Velda is also from the Ozarks. She's in Arkansas and isn't that far away from me. I mean, she's not right across the street, but not that far away, really. And but, you know, technology does what it does. Yeah, I went to call into the show, Gina, and I found my phone, like, turned itself off at some point and never told me. So I'm like,
don't you love that?
Oh, yeah, because then I'm like, I'm coming in and the music's already started. And I'm like, oh, no. I would have been, like, 2 or 3 minutes early if not for all that. It was just bizarre. But anyway, such is life, and we're getting it back together now. Yeah, I'm really excited about our show today and the topic that we're talking about, because I know that Velda is a prolific author, and she faces the same big question as an author that anybody who is a budding business owner and anyone who's involved with Directions U probably has the same or very similar question. So that'll be one great thing for us to talk about, and of course we'll get better acquainted with Velda as well. And looks like we got her back.
Well, she is back, so why don't you go ahead and do the introduction.
Okay, and we don't hear that little weird noise, so that's fabulous. Well, I first became aware of Velda Brotherton because I am part of the Ozarks Writers League, which is a regional writing group. I started my whole journey because I love to write fiction. And I personally quickly learned that you had to do more than write fiction and had to really do some marketing and some other things. And Velda is one of the very awesome people. First of all, she is very generous with her time and experience and knowledge that she'll share with other writers. She is somebody who is a rock star locally because she has published numerous books, and Velda, we'll have to get the count from you because I'm not even sure exactly how many, but has published numerous books. And she is has embraced all the social media, and you'll find her on Facebook and on Pinterest and various other places. So she's really doing a lot to reach out to different authors, and she is definitely all over the place. She is blogging. She has a website. She has books. And so I think it'll be really great to talk with Felda and find out some things that she's learned along the way, and also perhaps be able to help her with this really big question that she and many of our listeners face. So first of all, Felda, welcome to Relationship Marketing 101. It's so exciting. I got to see you live in person on Saturday, and here we are on the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me, too. I know it's going to be an enjoyable hour.
Mm-hmm. Especially without that weird crackling noise coming on.
Yeah. Well, we have strange phone lines out here in the boonies.
Yeah, I know.
So how many books have you written? How many books have you written, Felda?
Well, it's better to ask me how many I've published, because I don't even know how many I've written. I have 14 books published now, fiction and nonfiction both.
Mm-hmm. Holy cow! Over
that's
what period
saying.
Of time? That's a lot of books.
She's a rock star.
Well, I have republished 6 of them, as you know, on Kindle. So I don't know if we would count that as another publication or not. I doubt it. But I did have to do an awful lot of work to get them there.
Oh, yeah.
My goodness. And do you work with a publisher, or are you self-published?
Those I put on Kindle, I had my rights converted from the publishers and then put them on Kindle. They were originally published.
My goodness. And do you work with just one publisher or several publishers?
No, I have several. Right now I'm working with a publisher of nonfiction who's going to put my books into large print, and he wants to do the fiction books in large print. So he's doing double duty on that.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah, it is. I'm looking to do some audio work, too, but I haven't really pinned that down yet.
And your books, do they, the nonfiction, are they all on a single topic or multiple topics?
Well, most of the nonfictions are Ozark-based, and they're regional. So they sell mostly just in the Ozarks. They don't move out, unless, you know, of course, people who are interested in the Ozarks sometimes buy copies of them, but they're mostly the Ozarks, and I have 6 of those. So.
Wow. And then the fiction books. Who's the audience that reads those?
Those are Western historical romances. So I have a wide audience with women, and then some men do, because they're pretty gritty Westerns.
Wow. And what made you get into that topic?
It was almost an accident. I had written all kinds of things, and then a contest came up for 3 chapters of a Western novel. So I wrote 3 chapters of a Western novel and entered it in the contest, and it won first place. So I thought, gee, maybe I'm supposed to write Western. It wasn't a romance. So
oh, my goodness.
Eventually that was published as we turned it into a romance with a little help from some friends. And it was my first book published as a romance with Penguin. So.
Awesome.
I'm just looking at the whole list of books on Amazon. For our listeners, if you go to Amazon and just put into the search box Felda's name, Felda Brotherton, you will see all of her books, both in paperback and Kindle edition. We've got Spurs, Saddles, and Sass, published April 17th of this year. Montana Dreams, September 4th of last year. Montana Promises, August 4th of last year. Montana Destiny, Dreamwalker, Wolf Song, Images in Scarlet, Angel's Gold, Fly with the Morning Dove, Washington County, Images of America and Arkansas, Arkansas Meals and Memories, Lift Your Eyes to the Mountains, Springdale, The Courage of Shiloh, Making of America, and many more. Of all your books, which is your favorite?
Oh, You know, it always should be the very last one you wrote. Stoneheart's Woman is the last book I wrote. And of course, it's my favorite right now. But probably the next book I'm working on will become my favorite. That's kind of like it is, you know.
Who's your favorite child of your children, you know? It's a little hard.
Yeah, that's right.
To say what's your real favorite. I mean, whoever you're working on that at that moment. I say whoever because as an author of fiction myself, I'm sure you agree, Zelda, a book really does feel like it has life and breath to it because of all the characters and the stories and, you know, the things that go on. It really feels like an entity, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. I fall in love with the characters, and it's hard for me to let them go. Sometimes I have a hard time saying mm-hmm. the end, you know,
mm-hmm.
because of the characters, more than
sure.
the story.
Mm-hmm.
So in our show notes today, Rhonda has a comment in there, and it says something like, your biggest challenge is a challenge that faces pretty much every author out there, and that is finding a way to reach the audience that you're there to serve.
Yes,
so let's talk a little bit about what that is. What are you doing now to reach your audience? How do people find you?
Well, of course, I just got interested in Pinterest, and mm-hmm. I'm putting up photos that link to what I like, some historical photos that I think people might enjoy looking at. And right now I'm planning on putting some actual pictures from my books, places that where the books take place, you know, the areas and anything, maybe some of the styles that the women wore, that kind of thing to tie to let the people who are looking at the pictures know what the books are really about, not just the story, but the places and what the women dealt with in the West. That's one of my main interests, is what women dealt with in the West. And it was tough. It was really tough out there for them. And so they became tough. And I want those things to show through in the photos I put on Pinterest. And, of course, I have an author page on Facebook, where they allow you to do more than you can do on the regular Facebook page as far as your business is concerned. You know, we're considered
right.
a business, and we need somehow to get the word out there. But I did see a publicist at a conference I just went to, and she gave me some hints of places to go to find my audience. So I'll be doing that, finding blogs that are blogged by people who are interested in the history of the West.
Mm-hmm. That's certainly a good idea.
Yeah, mm-hmm. linking up to them, they can then see my books and see if they want to take a look at them too, because of their interest in the West. That's the toughest thing, is finding those people.
That is very, very true.
I understand Technorati is a good site to go to to look for those kind of things, but I haven't had time yet. I'm working on another project right now, so I haven't had time for that.
Well, Technorati is simply one place that you can use. But, you know, just the big three search engines, Google, Yahoo, and Bing, they really are going to have the best resources for finding the types of sites you're talking about. The site that Rhonda has in our show notes for you is your blog on Blogspot, which is vbrotherton.blogspot.com, vbrotherton.blogspot.com. Is that your only website, or do you have another website too?
I have several spots online. I have a website that is just zeldabrotherton.com.
Okay.
And then I have another blog that is a journal, and it's zeldabrotherton.blogspot.com. So if you put my name in, you're going to get several different things. I also have one on Author's Den. I've been on Author's Den since I started writing.
Mm-hmm.
And
Author's
I like
Den is a great little place, isn't it?
Yes, it is, and I like it so much. I just stay there, and I try to keep it up to date because you can list all your books, and they put the covers on, and they also have a bookstore where people can order your books if you set it up so that you can fill the orders yourself.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah,
I like the fact
is.
That on Author's Den you can put up some samples, you know, be that poems or articles or excerpts or whatever.
Yeah.
And I need to go in. Every so often I go and switch it up a little bit, but it is it's a good place because the search engines will tend to find you. I do get some traffic from there.
Yes, so. I think so, and it's just. It's easy to manipulate, too. It's easy to put your things on. I don't like something that's really difficult and takes all day to work on.
It really does. So
yeah.
I like to think of the Internet as being this really powerful vehicle for helping you to reach people where they're at so that you can then use those places that people are hanging out already to bring them back to where you want them to go. Now,
right.
So often when people first get started on the Internet in whatever they're doing, whether that's promoting their books, promoting another kind of business, they get the mistaken impression that each thing they do has to have a separate website to do it. I often see people who have a website in one place, a blog in another place, a site to sell a book or a product in a third place. And when they do that, now their life becomes very complicated and actually quite hard, which I'm sure you've already seen. How do you decide? Do you send people to your blog or your website? Your website or Author's Den? How do you figure that out? That's kind of a challenge, isn't it?
Yes, it is a challenge. We think if we spread ourselves out, people will find us. And then it does become a challenge for us to decide where to send them to look at what we have. So I don't know.
If it's confusing and hard for you, imagine how hard it is for the people that really want to find you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Maybe we'd be smarter to have one place where we had everything.
That is exactly what I teach my students to do. Rather than having a blog in one spot and a website in another spot, my students use the website and the blog together. So they don't have a blog and a website. They have a website that is both a website and a blog at the same time.
Oh,
all
right. All
of the bigger search engines, Google, Yahoo, and Bing, even though Google owns Blogspot, Google's search engine actually ranks WordPress-based websites higher than Blogspot-based websites. And they really love WordPress. So what you want to do is take your main website, BelderBrotherton.com, make that a WordPress-based website, and take what you've got in the other sites that you've got, like Blogspot, and combine it with what you've got on BelderBrotherton.com and put it all up in one place.
Hmm.
On that site, you obviously want to have a place for people to go to buy your books. That's an absolute essential.
Yes.
Your goal is to use the articles that you write to bring people back to the place that they can either subscribe to your list or buy your books or both. Everything you do is meant to get them to those pages where they can either subscribe to your list or buy your books. Now, once you've got the site set up that way, before you go on, ask the question, let me say what you then need to do. The idea is to have a presence in any place that your audience is already hanging out online. So you'd have a Facebook profile and a fan page linking back to this website where they can go sign up for your list or buy your books. You'd have a presence on Twitter. Bring them back to this website where they can subscribe or buy your books. Have something on Pinterest. Bring them back to this website where they can buy the books and subscribe to the list. it's kind of like you're standing on that page where they can make a purchase from you. You're throwing a net up in the air. That net is going down and around all the websites on the internet. You're kind of pulling a string and scooping all the people on all of those websites back to that one page that makes you money.
Uh-huh.
That makes sense?
So I would be better served if I shut down my BeldaBrotherton.com or moved it to WordPress.
Well, you don't want to go to WordPress.com. WordPress has two versions. There is WordPress.com, where you would go and get something like VeldaBrotherton.wordpress.com. That's not the version of WordPress that you want. WordPress also has a platform that you install on your own website. It's on your own hosting, on your own domain name. It's still WordPress, but you control it. So on VeldaBrotherton.com, you wouldn't shut it down. You would install WordPress on it so that becomes both the blog and the website at the same time.
I see. Okay.
If you want to see what that looks like, take a look at Rhonda's site, ProfitableStorytelling.com.
Uh-huh.
Her website and her blog are one and the same. Her entire website is built on WordPress. Another great example is another site that Rhonda and I are both a part of called howtoliveonpurpose.com. Howtoliveonpurpose.com is also WordPress. When you get to the site is both a blog and a website at the same time. You'll see that although Rhonda uses WordPress and How to Live on Purpose uses WordPress, they look completely and totally different. It's because of how WordPress works. There are three parts to using WordPress. WordPress, the software, is what's called a content management system. It controls how the content is organized on your site. So you'll have a series of articles that are grouped into categories. Then you'll have a series of pages that are more static. They're the things that are not usually changing very often. They're the sales pages that sell your books, the opt-in pages where people can either get a free chapter or get something free, sign up for your newsletter. Those are on pages. And the articles are organized into these categories. Collections of articles is a good way to think about them. That's the first part. That's the content management system. How that content looks is controlled by an additional piece called a theme. There are tens of thousands of themes that determine the layout on the page, the colors that are being used. Even the font that is being used is controlled by the theme. WordPress works with the theme so that it can organize the content and display it in the way that the theme displays it. The third piece is called plugins. There are hundreds of thousands of plugins. These plugins get added to a WordPress-based website to control the functionality on the website. There are plugins that let you create a glossary on your site that can link from an article to a word in the glossary. There are plugins that can make it easy to change messages in your sidebar so that when someone's reading an article that talks about one of your books, in the sidebar it has an offer to sell that book, not all the books. Anything you want to do on your website can be done by putting a plugin in using it with WordPress.
I'm looking at the one site right now that you have, How to Live on Purpose.
Yes. Beautiful site, isn't it?
Beautiful, yeah.
And so anything that they do, whether that is working on their Facebook fan page, having conversations, it links people back to How to Live on Purpose. Whether they're doing stuff on Pinterest, putting up images, those all link back to How to Live on Purpose. They're out on Twitter, it links back to How to Live on Purpose. They no longer have to guess which place they should send people. It always sends them to the same place.
All right. Now, I have, when I talk about changing all of this, does that affect the pace that I have, you know, that I'm paying for now? Are they connected? I mean, when I put WordPress on there, does it take it away from Authors Guild and has a new host? You know, I don't know.
So your host right now is Authors Guild?
Yes.
And do you have a place that you log in the back end of your website, maybe called a cPanel or your hosting account?
Yes, I do.
So you would still host the site with Authors Guild as long as you have a place that you can log in to get to, like, the control panel of it. You would have someone go in there and install WordPress on the site for you from there. Most hosting companies have a way for you to install WordPress, and you don't actually have to get rid of the hosting company and switch to someone else. Almost every hosting company has a way for you to put WordPress up on that website.
Okay, so I can contact them and make sure, and get that set.
I would think so. Rhonda, do you know anything about Authors Guild? Do they allow you to have WordPress on your site?
I don't know. I don't have an Authors Guild, but Belda, if you'll give me your logins, you know, obviously not on the air, but I will look around and see what can be done, and I'll make sure to help you out so it can be a smooth transition, okay?
Okay, that'd be great. Because
we'd be happy to help you with that.
Because it hurts me that you have this, like, splatter pattern all over the place, and I know it's hard for you to manage, and it's certainly hard for people to find you because it's like everything's everywhere. So I really want to help you get everything streamlined.
Well, and here's the best part for Velda. Her website right now is all built using HTML. I imagine that it's actually kind of difficult for you to actually put stuff on your website yourself. You probably have to have somebody else do that for you, right?
No, I do it myself. It has a very easy, workable template. I just go in and add anything I want to, anytime, picture, text.
Well, it works the exact same way with WordPress. If you know how to use a word processor like Microsoft Word, you can use WordPress. It makes it that easy to make changes to your website, add stuff to your website. You just log into the WordPress dashboard, put your article in, bold what you want, underline what you want, put the pictures in that you want, and hit publish, and it shows up. It's awesome. It's so easy.
Okay.
In fact, one of my students had a site that looked very similar to the way that yours looks right now, and they just converted it over to a WordPress site about 2 months ago. The website is called menopausecoach.com, menopausecoach.com. It looked almost identical to your current website. Had a sidebar on the left, a sidebar on the right, content area down the center. That content area had all different kinds of things in it. There were some pages that were articles. There were some pages that were more just like an opt-in page where you could get a free book or a free chapter kind of thing. Mm-hmm. They just converted all of it over to WordPress. And if you look at the site now, there's only one sidebar on the right side. There isn't one on the left and one on the right. I tested extensively what causes the best conversions.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually seen an enormous improvement in both subscribers and sales just by changing from a three-column website with a left and a right sidebar to a one-sidebar website where you have a column on the right that's the sidebar with the content down the left. It's almost 35% better conversions having the one sidebar on the right instead of one on the left and one on the right.
Okay.
I think it's a subconscious thing for people. We typically will read from left to right, not from right to left, unless we're in an Asian culture. They read the content first, and it's the content that actually gets them to click on the links. The sidebar is what they look at after they've read the content. The sidebar actually gets much fewer clicks. So one of the important pieces is to recognize that that's how people will read your website. Most people on their websites that have, like you do, the column on the left, the column on the right, they expect that people are going to be clicking on the things in the sidebars, taking those things to bring them to making a purchase. But that's really not the way people use websites today. They actually click on those sidebar ads less than 10% of the time. If you simply recognize that they will read the content and are more likely to follow the links in the content than they are in the sidebar, well, then you can promote your books right in the content area instead of expecting them to see it in the sidebar.
Oh,
and you really will get hundreds of times more sales because of that. It's hugely different.
Okay.
Now, another thing that you'll notice on all of the sites I just sent you to is that in every single article on their site, they give people a way to share that on Facebook, share it on Twitter, share it on Google+, share it in a bookmarking site like Technorati, for example. The idea is find people wherever they happen to be, get them back to your site, get them reading your stuff so that they start really liking your stuff, then get them to share your stuff with the people that they're talking to on all the sites that they came from originally. WordPress makes it very easy to do that.
That's one thing I've had a problem with is learning how to put those buttons on, you know, the Facebook, and I haven't learned how to do that.
Well,
how to put
the
on my
site that Rhonda helps you put up, we will make sure that there is a plugin installed on there for you so that it will just happen on autopilot. You won't have to do anything to put those buttons up. It'll just be there automatically.
Okay.
That'll help, right?
That's great. Yeah, that's great because I just don't know how to do it, and it's just one thing that's in line, you know.
Yeah, one in many, right? Yeah.
You're right.
So is there anything else that you really have trouble doing on your website? Maybe we can find a way to overcome those things, too.
No, not really. Most of the things that I put up are easy to put up, and they do have other themes you can use and other setups on this website that I can change to if I want to, but it is pretty basic website. The template is pretty basic. But that
now, down the left side, these quick links, there are some that go to sites that are obviously yours, like zelda-brotherton.blogspot.com.
Yes. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
There are others that very obviously do not go to your site, like westernbooks.com. I would encourage you to not have links that are like westernbooks.com. You want every single link on your website to be a link on your website. So veldabrotherton.com should be the link. With WordPress, you can create what are called redirection links that will be something like veldabrotherton.com/Western Books Interview. When someone clicks on that link, it will redirect them to westernbooks.com/interview/Velda Brotherton. The reason that you want to do it that way is twofold. First and foremost, the search engines really dislike sites that send you off to all these other sites. they see that as being hard for the searchers that they're sending to your website. If the searcher really wants what you've got, they aren't necessarily going to like the idea of having to go off to the Western Books website to get it. Otherwise, why would they have come to your website?
Mm-hmm.
So you'll actually get better search engine rankings just by ensuring that the links on your website, for the most part, keep them on your website. You still have a reason for sending them to other websites, like you want them to read the interview, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So if you simply create a redirection link, taking them there in a way that still makes it look like it's VeldaBrotherton.com, when people go to tell their friends, oh, I just read this great interview that Velda did, you got to check it out. Where they send them to do that is not Western Books. They'll send them to VeldaBrotherton.com/Western Books interview, because now it's easier to remember where to send their friends.
Oh, okay.
So from a branding perspective, you're really furthering the Velda Brotherton brand when you've got your link set up that way.
Okay.
In order to get really good traffic from search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing, you need three different kinds of links. Think of it as Google really has a system for determining who is an authority in a given field. They call that system PageRank. Google awards a PageRank between 0 and 10 to every website. VeldaBrotherton.com has a PageRank of 3. A PageRank of 5 says that Google thinks of you as the biggest authority in your field. 5 to 10 is what you're shooting for. With a PageRank of between 5 and 10, you will get tens of thousands of visitors a month to your website without you doing anything. The traffic just happens organically from Google, Yahoo, and Bing. With less than a PageRank of 5, it's going to mean a couple hundred to a couple thousand visitors a month, but not a big stream of traffic. In order to get that PR 5 to 10, it takes having three different kinds of links. There are internal links. Internal links are links that go from page 1 of your website to page 2 of your website, with both pages having the same keyword. So Western Books might be a good keyword for you. I haven't done the research to know that, but let's just assume that it is. On page 1, you would use Western Books. On page 2, you would use Western Books. And the link would be attached to Western Books on page 1, linking to page 2. You need on the order of hundreds to thousands of those internal links to get to a page rank of 5. Those internal links tell Google this is a well-organized site. It will make it easy for our searchers to find all the great stuff because they have a good internal linking structure, and it's arranged topically by the keywords. The second kind of link you need is called an external link. An external link is a link that goes from your website to somebody else's website. Both the page that you have on your site and the page that the link goes to need to use the same keyword. So again, let's say it's Western Books. On your website, the word Western Books would be blue, underlined, and clickable. It would link to westernbooks.com/interview/Velda Brotherton. That tells Google that you know who their experts are by linking from your site to other sites that they already think of as authority figures. You need an equal number of internal and external links. The third kind of link is what's called a backlink or an inbound link. Other sites need to link to you. So you've got your Facebook profile that's going to link to someplace on your website. Your Pinterest profile will link to someplace on your website. Comments you make on other people's sites will link back to your website. You need 10 times more inbound or backlinks as you do internal and external links in order to get to an authority site status.
Okay.
Now, not to make it that much more complicated, but there's a really easy way to get internal, external, and backlinks in the numbers that you need. While you can link from page 1 of your website to page 2 of your website, if you had page 1 linked to page 2, page 2 linked to page 3, and all three pages focused on that keyword, that's what's called a deep link. Every deep link is worth somewhere between 30 and 40 of that type of link. You could have website number 1 link to website number 2. Website number 2 links back to you. Now you've got a two-level deep inbound or backlink that's worth 30 to 40 one-level deep inbound links.
Wow.
On your website, page 1 links to page 2, page 2 links to page 3. That two-level deep internal link worth 30 to 40 one-level deep internal links. So you can literally use one-third to one-quarter the number of the links that you need and get high page rank to get all of that traffic happening. I have an entire system that's all about how you do what you do on your blog and what you do with inbound links in a way that helps you do this with deep links instead of one-level deep links. So that you really don't need huge amounts of stuff to get high page rank and great traffic. I've had students with as few as 30 articles on their site, all of them having deep internal links and deep external links, all of them using just a simple six-step process for creating backlinks that have gotten to a page rank of 5. Typically, a website that's a PR5 on Google has somewhere between 10,000 and 20,000 pieces of content on their site, not 30. So it's a very effective system that with very little effort can get you a much bigger reach so that people really are going to start finding you much more frequently.
That would be great.
Well, Rhonda, why don't we give Velda access to my blog systems workshop? I'll just give that to you as a gift. Rhonda, get me your email address so that I can get that to you. I have
a course.
It's about a 20-hour course that shows you this whole thing. Wouldn't that be good, Rhonda?
That would be
great.
So awesome. Yeah, that would just be beautiful, and it would really help you out a lot. And, Velda, the other thing is... if we have a way to connect me through Skype, I can teach some of this stuff to your writers group because I know there's a lot of writers who are doing the same thing you are with everything splattered all over here, there, and everywhere across the Internet.
They really are.
And they're hurting just like anybody else would be, and I think this would really be helpful. So we'll talk about that. I'll get something set up, and I'll make that, I'll turn it into a product, but I'll do that for your group.
Well, my course is at askggg.com/BSW and the number 2. Blog Systems Workshop 2 is what that stands for. askggg.com/BSW2. This month, I'm actually in the middle of an 8-week series of webinars that are totally free that really talk about how you use your website to get conversions, not just get traffic. So you'll find it at askggg.com/blogging replay. askggg.com/blogging replay. That'll focus on the conversions, the blog systems workshop course that I will give you, Velda. Don't go buy it. That will help you focus on the overall system and driving traffic through search, Facebook, et cetera.
Okay.
Yeah. And in case someone doesn't understand, conversions mean sales for those who maybe are not familiar with that languaging.
Exactly. Whether that means selling your book or getting people to subscribe for a chapter of your book, they're both conversions.
Okay.
Getting people to take whatever action you want. So what you do to drive traffic is very different than what you do to drive traffic that converts. There are many websites that get millions of visitors every month, but they never get those visitors to take any actions. They just get visitors.
Yeah.
Well, who wants to get a million people to read their stuff if they don't ever make a purchase?
That's true.
Uh-huh.
So the system that I've created really helps with both getting traffic and getting those visitors to do whatever you want them to do, whether that's buy your book or subscribe to a newsletter. Doesn't really matter. That part's the same.
Does WordPress help you do a newsletter, or does that need to be done separately?
It's a great question. The best way to do a newsletter is to create it on your website, then take the text of that and send it out as an email. Let people know that if they want to read it in a way that looks real pretty, they can go read it on your website and give them the link. Most people who have newsletters send their newsletters out in HTML format with graphics all laid out real nice and pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they don't realize that if you send messages out laid out in HTML with graphics and a layout, it actually means that less than 20% of your emails will actually get to people's inboxes.
Mm-hmm.
The companies that people use to get email, whether that's Gmail, Yahoo, Hotmail, whatever, they actually filter emails. And one of the criteria they use in filtering is this something that uses HTML? Viruses that people get in their computer cannot be transmitted in a text-based message. They can only be transmitted in an HTML message. So when you send your newsletter out in HTML so that it looks pretty, it means that it won't get into people's inboxes more often than not. If you simply take just the text portion of the newsletter, send it out in an email that's just text, no images, no layout, you will get it into a lot more inboxes because you won't get stuck by those filters looking at the HTML part. Mm-hmm. If people want to see it look pretty, great. Have them come to your website to see it.
Okay.
I'll often say, if you'd like to see the pictures that go with the story, and I'll refer to those, you know, if you'd like to see the pictures, just go to and give them the link right over to that exact post, not to the blog itself or the main part, just right over to that article.
So, yes,
okay.
You can use WordPress to help you with the newsletter. Just write it out on WordPress as if it were an article. Maybe have a category called newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
You can put pictures in it. You can make it look however you want. Whatever you want to do it right there on WordPress. Then just take, say, one article from it or one portion of it, send that out in an email and let them know that there's more to read and more to see. Here's the link to do it.
Okay, that sounds great, because that's what I was beginning to work on right now was a newsletter, but I wasn't sure just exactly how to get it out there. Somebody recommended MailChimp.
That's exactly what I would recommend as well. MailChimp is a fabulous autoresponder.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so
it's a free one.
Signed up on it. Yeah, I've signed up on it. I haven't done anything yet because they're sending me the video to learn how to use it and everything.
Right.
Well, and using MailChimp, one of the things that you should be doing is that in MailChimp, once you've opened your account, you create a list in that account. Then from each list, it will give you a little opt-in form, name, email address, maybe name, email address, phone number. Mm-hmm. You then get the code, you put that on your website so that people then have a way to subscribe and they automatically show up in your MailChimp account.
Okay.
In your website, in that sidebar on the right-hand side, you'll notice on all of the sites I told you about that right at the top there's a little opt-in form where people can subscribe for something. Sometimes it's to sign up for a newsletter. Sometimes it's opt-in to get access to a teleconference or webinar. Sometimes it's opt-in to get into the free members area. It can be any number of different things. You want that opt-in right in your sidebar at the top on every single page of your website.
Okay.
And then in the content you put into your site, sometimes even in the content, you want to duplicate that form rather than saying you can sign up for this free chapter up at the top right-hand side of this page. Don't make them have to scroll around looking for it. Just say if you want to get a free chapter, just fill in the form below and put a second form right in the content. It'll actually convert much better if you do it that way.
Okay.
And MailChimp makes it very easy. You can either send out messages that are all formatted nice and pretty with HTML, or you can send out messages that are just plain old text. I would just set it up for plain old text. Don't worry about getting a template for your newsletter.
Okay. And then have it on a page on my website.
Yes. What I love about MailChimp is that it's completely free until you have 2,000 subscribers on your list. Even once you have 2,000, the price for MailChimp is really small, and it scales with you. The more subscribers you have, the more it will cost you. Well, the more subscribers you have, the more sales you'll be making, so you don't mind paying a little bit more when you've got 50,000 people on your list.
That's right.
Exactly.
Dream on.
But
yeah,
to pay that
work.
Amount of money when you only have 1,000 people on your list, well, that doesn't make so much sense. So I love the way that they've handled their pricing. It really makes the most sense for the author or business owner.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Gina, one thing I want to help Velda a little bit with, because I'm looking at the time and I see how fast it's screaming right along here, is I'd like to help her understand a little bit about how do you find the people who like to read slash buy whatever it is that you're doing. And so, you know, there you can get some data online about, like, if there are places, like Romantic Times, for example, is a site for readers of romance, not writers of it, but readers of it. And there are some sites where you can get some data about what's happening on those sites. What is that person like who reads them? What other sites do they visit? And that kind of thing might really help you in figure out where you're going to find them. Not only that you have everything getting consolidated and stuff, which will help to a large degree, but also really being able to hone in and go, okay, now what other interests do these have? How can I go and find the readers of this? People who have the problems that I want to solve or I am solving with my products, my books, my services, or whatever, you know, for others in our audience, just to make it the same, it's the same issue, no matter if you're a writer or a business owner.
If I think about the books that I've bought over the years, more often than not, I wasn't going into Google or going onto Facebook to look for a book to buy. I happen to be going into something, whether that's my local store, a website, a search engine, doesn't really matter. I'm looking for other things, and from that, in my radar, a book magically appears. And I go, you know, I haven't read that. I should really buy that book. It's not because I went out searching for a book to buy. It's because I went out searching for other stuff that happened to have a book mentioned. Does that make sense?
Well, I never thought of.
I highly doubt that people are out there looking for Western romance novels.
Not specifically.
A handful of them might be looking for that, but
writers
they're not out there searching for it.
Yeah, writers do that. I will read anything that sounds interesting. I don't care about genre, but a lot of people will, well, I want to write Western, so I'm going to read Western romances or whatever. But think about the readers and think from their perspective and recognize you have stories about really strong, rugged women. And so you think about, well, where do women who want to develop their strength and who are strong women, where, what other organizations or places or websites or forums or might they hang out? Like, there's a lot of places on iVillage that might be potentially where some of your people hang out, for example. So you start filling in those blanks to help you understand how to connect with those readers.
Okay. What you write about on your website is not about your books. It's about those problems that your audience is out there looking for solutions to. So if we're going after, say, 40 to 60-year-old women who would be interested in Western romance novels, more than likely those are going to be somewhat athletic women, I would think. Women who probably have careers, any of the things that they would be out there looking at to help them with their career or the sports that they might be involved in would be things that you could write about and then use that story that you write to share with them how they can learn more about women like this through one of your books.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you're right, Rhonda. Time is really screaming along here.
I know.
We have about 90 seconds left.
Yeah.
What last advice shall we give to Velda before we wrap up today?
Well, plan from strategy. You know, just people look around the web and see, oh, I got to be on Pinterest. I got to be on Facebook. I got to be here. I got to be there. And they put a presence there without having. Center of your wagon wheel is where you're sending everybody, and you're going to collect them through these other sites, but bring them all back to the hub of the wheel.
Okay.
Make sense?
That makes sense. Right.
Okay. And our readers can find Velda at veldabrotherton.com, V-E-L-D-A, Brotherton, B-R-O-T-H-E-R-T-O-N, VeldaBrotherton.com. It's also in the show notes from today. And I am sure in the coming weeks that you will see an evolution on Velda's website as we get her using WordPress so that she can reach more people on the internet. I'm really looking forward to helping you with that, Velda.
Well, I'm looking forward to it happening, too. Thank you so much.
You are very welcome. Well, for our listeners, thank you so much for joining us today. Rhonda and I will be back next week on Tuesday at noon Eastern for another episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. Have a fabulous week, everybody.
It's Marnie Pearson next week. See you then.
Oh, should be an awesome
show. Come back
show.
Next week for Relationship Marketing 101. Join us at Directions University, www.directionsu.com, for passion, power, results.